Today's daf, Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Ches. So before we begin, let's just review, so that the Gemara will make sense. The last thing that we learned, I think it's good time for us to just read it over quickly, is, let's start on Amud Beis, it's Zayin Amud Beis, Mechusar Begadim. How do we know Mechusar Begadim is an apostle? Since the pasuk says v'chagart otam avneit Aharon v'anav chavashta nigbaod, v'italam kuna luchukat olam, which means when you get these clothes on them, then you're giving them the kuna luchukat olam, which means bisman shebigdeihem aleihem kunatam aleihem ein bigdeihem aleihem ein kunatam aleihem. So only in so far as they're wearing the begadim, do they have a din of kayani. In the moment that they're not wearing their full begadim, then they have a din of a zar. We already learned that the zar passes. So this begins the next sugya with the Gemara we asked yesterday, Vami Alchanavka. Is this the Makar that we learned it out from the pasuk of the original dressing of the Kayanim? I thought it says in a Braita, Minai Lishituyei Shima Vatchileo. It starts off in a different question. How do we know that someone who was intoxicated, v'halocha anyway, intoxicated, he had a revius yayin, and that such a person, if he does the aveda, he is going to end up being mechalo, because it says, yayin v'shechar al tesht, which ends with the word, lo'avdu ben ha-kodesh ben acho, which means that in order for something to be kodesh and not cho, it has to be done by a kohen who's not drunk. Again, I don't like the word drunk because it just means halachically a shasuya yayin, but someone who hasn't had wine. So you see that a shasuya yayin is mechalo le'aveda. And here's where we get to the point that's important for us. Mechusar begadim v'shal rochot yadayim v'ravayim minayin. How do we know that the same thing is true for someone who is mechusar begadim? Now, we just learned mechusar begadim from the Pasuk in Shmos. And here the Bryce is saying we know it because in the pasuk of the iser of drinking wine, it says in Emor Chukat Olam L'Dorotechem, and in the pasuk we just read before it says Vaitalem Kuna L'Chukat Olam. So we're comparing the chok that it says there, which means that it's ma'akev. By the way, remember that the word chok is ma'akev, as we explained at the beginning of the whole sugya of Kachin, that the word chok is the equivalent of a repetition in the pasuk. So if shana lova katuv la'akev, then the word chok already tells me that. So if that's the case, if it says chukat olam by the kuhuna, or it says chukat olam, why do we need a gzereshova? The word chok itself means you don't need a gzereshova, doesn't it? Based on this, the Rabbeinu Tam says that chok does not mean that it's ma'akev. That's what you thought. When it says Torat, Torat is ma'akev. When it says chok, the only reason that chok means it's ma'akev is because of the gzereshova. So since the Torah said you could compare chok to chok, so now we know that it's ma'akev. Okay. But if it wouldn't be for there, if it wouldn't be for that pasuk of the Lahavdo ben HaKodesh ben HaChol, then we wouldn't know that that chok was ma'akev. Now we know that the Bechusar Begodim is ma'akev, which means that we have to come on not to the original pasuk and the chukah, but rather to the Gzeres Shova, to the din of Shesuya Yayin. So I don't understand. Why did the Gemara bring before that we learn it directly from Bizman Shekunatam Aleihem, if we need to go to the Chukah Chukah Gzereshova? Answers the Gemara, because if I would have learned it from over there, we did all of this before. So we're just running through it again so that we can remember it and the new sugya will make sense. See, Mehatam, if I would have learned it from there, from the Gzereshova, I would have thought that this din, that it passes the Aveda, is only on things that a Zoris Chayiv Mita. Because, look, I mean, it says over here, avatim, remember, avodah tama. It has to be avodah, which is the end of a series. So either it's the zrikas adam, or it's putting the parts of the korban on the mizbeach. And if not, even though the zar is asur, but he's not chayiv misa. So there, if that's the case, I would have said, so then maybe the two are interrelated. if a zaras chayiv misa, so then indeed the mukhusar begadin would be the like the zar, and he's chayiv misa. And because of that, he's mechalo le'avoda. But how about if it's not something that is chayiv misa? Maybe he's not the mechalo le'avoda. So how do we know that he would be mechalo any avoda, even the avoda that the zar is not chayiv misa? And that's our question. So because of that, we needed to actually then go and say, yeah, but look, as long as he is missing his begadim, he's not a kohen. So memela he passes the avodah, the same way the zar. But if we would only have had the shesuya yayin, we wouldn't have been able to prove that. Okay, so now we know that the mechusar begadim is actually going to pass the avodah even if there's no chiyav misa on the zar. But now going back to shesuya yayin, how do we know that the shesuya yayin is possible, even if it's not something that the kohen, then the czar would be chayav misa on? So now we go out and ask again the opposite direction. Shesuya yayin minolon. And there we say, oh, we go the other direction now, and we learn out from mechusar begadim. Now we learn out shesuya yayin. So first we learned out the mechusar begadim from shesuya yayin. Now we learn out the mechusar, the shesuya yayin from the mechusar begadim. Okay, excellent. I see Gavi is all ready to start writing down all of the new issues. There we go. That's nobody really knows that we bought that diagonally, that it's really a magical one, but okay. It's a good disguise. So, if that's the case, how do we know this, that it turns out that the words in the Braisa, how do we know, are, they were fooling us. I understand. That's crazy. The Tana of the Braisa said exactly the opposite, right? He said, how do we know that the Isser of passing even the Aveda, somebody who was a Shesui Yayin, the Tana brought the Pusik of Lahavdil, Beinah Kodesh or Beinah Chol, didn't he? Now you're turning around. And you're telling me, no, that was actually a lie. He really was learning it out of chukah from a chusar begadim. I'm so confused. You started learning the chusar begadim from a chusar begadim. Then you told me, I really only know the chusar begadim from a shesuya yai. Then, after we established that any avoda is usher because of that mechusar begadim, so then we say, so how do we know shesuya yayin? So we know shesuya yayin from mechusar begadim. My head is whirling. You said originally that the way that we know that the mechusar begadim, that the shesuya yayin is puzzling is because lahavdil ben hakodesh ben hachol, not from mechusar begadim. So everything that you said, you ended up switching around in the end. What's going on? Now, you have to understand. Before we presented the Gezeirah Shavah, right? So we didn't know that Gezeirah Shavah. So then we said, okay, let's take a look at that pasuk. It says, L'havdil ben HaKadosh ben HaChol. But once we needed that Gezeirah Shavah, and now we learned the Gezeirah Shavah to establish that the Mechusar Begadim is actually going to passel the all Avodahs, and we're learning that out, even things that the Zohar is not chayav on. So before we had that Gezeirah Shavah to teach us, we now no longer have to go back to the Kuhuna Samaleim. What? But the whole Braisa was teaching us that Mechusar Begadim is learned from Shesuya Yayin. Now you're telling me the opposite. Now you're telling me, actually, it was Mechusar, it was Shesuya Yayin that was learned from Mechusar Begadim, and that we only mentioned the Pasuk Lahavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol because we hadn't mentioned the Gezeirah Shavah. But the whole Braita was set up in the opposite way. Come on, stop trying to fool me. There's nothing here that even gives a hint that anything has changed. You started saying that we're going to learn out the psul of the Aveda from the of Shesuya Yayin from Lahavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol. So, and we only brought the Gezeirah Shavah to tell me that that same idea is true of a Mechusar Begadim, not to learn from the Mechusar Begadim, for heaven's sakes. Oh, well, actually, Hachikoma. Listen, there's multiple levels where the Braisa brings something, okay? What the Braisa really was trying to say was, How do we know that we should not make any kinds of distinctions between Buchos HaBegadim and Shesuya Yayin and Shelaroch HaTzadayim V'Raglayim? That's the point that it's making. It's not trying to say we learn the A from the B as opposed to B from the A. It's making a general statement. These three things, the idea of the Buchos HaBegadim, the Shesuya Yayin, the Shelaroch HaTzadayim V'Raglayim, there cannot be a difference between them because there's a gzera shava of chuka to all three of them. Now, once you understand that, then it's good. There it says, how do we know Talmud Lomar chuka, chuka, like gzera shava? After we know that, so now obviously we don't need the pasuk lahavdil ben hakodesh ben hachol because I can learn the whole thing out from chuka. That if we know that it's pasuk, in the other case, it's puzzled by the case of Buchos HaBegadim because he's not even a Kohen. So then that means it's going to be puzzled for the Shesuya Yayin. But wait, so then why do I need that pasuk at all? This pasuk that says, Ahavdil ben HaKamir ben HaTohar. Now it doesn't teach me anything because I could learn the whole thing out of the Gzer Shava Chuka Chuka, right? You're absolutely right. The truth is that that pasuk, Ahavdil, Bein HaKodesh Bein HaChol is a totally different limud. What that's referring to is a Talmud Chacham who drank. Now, the doorbell rings. He just had a nice suda, and he had some wine. The doorbell rings. Somebody's got this big shayla, and he says he wants you, the Rav, to tell him, is this Kodesh or is this Chol? A Shasu Yayin cannot be mavdo between Kodesh and Chol. So he's not allowed to answer any shaylas. That's what this pasuk is coming to tell me, which is the way that Rav was Nayeg Halacha L'Maisa. Rav refused to give a shir from the time that he had his yontif meal, where he was undoubtedly a bit high, from that time till the next day, because he was afraid that he was high. Mishum Shichrut. So where did he get that from? He must have gotten it from the extension of Lahavdil, Bein HaTameu, Bein HaTor, Bein HaKodesh HaKol, and Tamei and Tor. All is going to be based on that pasuk. That's the Lahavdil. Wow. Okay, so now it's a totally different halacha. All right, but now getting back to the main issue. So we now need a pasuk to tell me the fact that Bizvan Shebigdeyam Aleihem, and to tell me the Gzera Shava of chok, because I need to know that it applies even to things that a czar, fine, you told me he's a czar, but how do we know that even things that a czar is not chayiv misa'an, how do we know that it applies to that? So we had both psukim. The problem is that do we still need that pasuk that says that bizman shebigdeyam aleihem and without bigdeyam aleihem, they don't have a din of a kohen because there's a braita that has yet a third place to learn it from. And what is that? It says, v'natnu b'nei Aharon HaKohen. And since it says Aharon HaKohen, it's referring to the Eish al HaMizbeach. So even though, what do we learn from that pasuk? That even though there used to be a fire that would come down min ha-shamayim on the Mizbeach, there's a mitzvah lehavi min ha-hedyot. So that we learned from this pasuk. Even if the Mizbeach is on fire, natnu b'nei Aharon HaKohen Eish al HaMizbeach. And that extra word, ha-kohen, I mean, obviously, b'nei Aharon HaKohen. So why does it say b'nei Aharon HaKohen? To teach me that he has to be in the state of kahuna, meaning that he is wearing those begadim. And that's referring to the B'nai Aharon. B'nai Aharon are not Kohenim Gedolim. So that teaches us that a Kohen Gadol who wore Big Day Kohen had Yot V'Avad Avadasai Pesula, that it works in both directions. If you're telling me Natnu B'nai Aharon HaKohen, then in the context of the non-Kohen Gadol, then stressing Aharon HaKohen is telling me, you better make sure that Kohen Gadol is not wearing the begonim of the Kohen Edyot. And the bonim, they're the ones that wear it, but Aharon HaKohen has to wear his shmona begonim. And that means even though he's wearing all our begonim, which would allow another Kohen to do it, for him, it's as if he's a czar. So if we had this pasuk, why do we need the other psukim that we brought from Shmos, that kuhunatam is manchabigdeyamalem kuhunatamalem. Because I'll tell you, if it was only from that pasuk, I would have said, okay, they can't do an aveda that is going to be necessary for the kapora. Is it really necessary for the Kohen to bring Esh on the Mizbeach? Suppose the Kohen wouldn't bring Esh on the Mizbeach and you used only the Esh Milamala, would it not be kosher? It would be perfectly kosher. Therefore, I would have thought that an Aveda that is not Ma'akev Kapora, maybe he doesn't need to wear all his begotten. That's why we need to know that Aaron is possible for doing even the Havas Esh on the Mizbeach, which is not necessary for Kapora because the Esh is already there. So now we have yet a pasuk to tell me even something that's on Akev Kapora. Now the problem is that we got yet another brisa, and the other brisa also seems to be saying the same thing. V'akate me'ocha nafka? I thought we learned it out. Me'hosam nafka? I don't get it. Take a look at this brisa. V'orchu b'nei Aharon ha'kohanim et ha'nitachim. Here it gives me another word, kohanim, which is unnecessary. Obviously, b'nei Aharon are ha'kohanim. So it's coming to tell me ha'kohanim as their state of kihuna is activated, meaning that they're wearing their begadim. And this tells us the opposite. Here it's b'nei Aharon, mikan l'kohen hedyot, if the kohen hedyot was wearing the eight begadim of the kohen gadol. Well, the eight begadim of the kohen gadol include, does it not, the arba begadim of the kohen hedyot? So you'd think that a kohen hedyot who wore the big day kohen gadol would be, the avoda would be kosher. Kamash malon, even that is considered to be a psul. Ah, so if it says that, why did I need the first pasuk that said bizman shebig day amaleim kunatam aleim? Because if it didn't say that, I would have thought that hava mina animilech yisur. I would have thought if the kohen is wearing less than he's supposed to be wearing. But if he's wearing more, I would say, okay, so he put on extra begadim. I would have thought that that's okay. Kamash balon, that you need both. Bizman shebigdeyam aleihem can't be less. But from here we learn that if the kohen hedyot wears the kohen gadol and it's more, it's also possible. Which brings us to the next questions. What is the status? We're talking about these begadim. We say you can't wear more. Well, what exactly would define a more? I mean, suppose the beget is too big for the kohen. Lemaisa does says mido bad, from where we learn out, it has to be mido kemidato. It has to fit in. So the kohanim were fitted by tailors, and it fit them precisely. What exactly would be the halacha if there's a problem in the begadim themselves? Not that they're wearing the wrong begadim, but let's say ayu merushalim. Merushalim means they're actually on the ground, so they're touching the ground because they're too long. Or misulakim. Suppose they were too up high and they weren't long enough to reach up to the ground. Or suppose they were mishuchakim. Or suppose they were already worn out. And nonetheless, he went ahead and he did the Aveda. Is Mido Bad a psul? No. Avodato Kishira. So even though L'chatchila is supposed to be Lavash HaKohen Mido Bad, but Lamaisa, if it's a little bit too long, or it's a little bit too high, and the bottom of his kutonet is not even with the ground, but it's, that's why we have the same Limud about how to fit Hogwarts clothing together with Gavi's as wand. It's both done at the same time. And so because of that, it had to fit exactly. But Kamash Malon, it's not Ma'akev. But if it was, he put on two pairs of Mechasayim, or two pairs of Avneti, or if he didn't put on all of the Arba Begadim, Or if you put on a different beged, that's not yeter echad, doesn't mean an extra one. It's a little misleading because chiser and yeter usually go together. But over here, obviously the yeter, we already said shneav neitim is going to possibly. So here it means a different beged that wasn't part of the big tikkunah. Or suppose he had a bandage on his, he had a sore, he put a bandage on it. And now between his skin and the beged, there is a bandage. What's the din over there? Oh, shehayu, let's say that these begadim were actually filthy, so they had mud on them, or they were torn, mikorain. In any of those cases, if he does the aveda is pasul, because we have to have the begadim that are ru'uyin to be lechavod letifaret, and if they're torn, or if they have actual mud on them, then they're not a kovid and they're not a tiferet. And the other cases, he's either a mechusar begadim or he's a yetra begadim, and it's not the begadim that the Torah said that he has to wear. Fine. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. I'm telling you that Shmuel Paskin, which is a little bit strange, seems to be against the Braita, that if they were Merushalim and they were being pulled, dragged along the ground, they're still kosher. But if they were Mesulakim, they've been pulled up too high and they don't reach the ground, then they're puzzled. So how could Shmuel say that if the Braita just said Beferish that in either event, if they're Merushalim, they're Ksherim, and if they are Mesulakim, they're Ksherim? So how could he possibly have argued with the Braita? Omar Rami Bar Choma, Lokasha. When you say that they're up in the air and they're not getting down, that's talking about that he had pulled it too tight with his belt. So he pulled up a little bit of the ketanet, and then he had his avnet on, and he tied the avnet tight, which held the ketanet up too high off of the ground. So over there, the material is there. They just look like they don't fit because you had them hitched up with your belt. So there it's kosher. But when Shmuel said it's parcel, he was talking about where it actually was missing the material and never reached down to the ground, and therefore wasn't that minobad, and that would actually be considered to be chaser, and it would parcel. Whereas Rav says, doesn't make any difference. I don't care where they're echad. I don't care if they're too long, and I don't care if they're too short. They're always going to be puzzle. They have to fit exactly. Now, Rav Huna, he came to Argiza, and he was eating together with the bread of breakfast, and the man who was running the bed and breakfast had a kid who was at the meal, and his son asked Rav Huna, how could Shmuel have said that Merushalim are Kesherim and Mesulakim are Psulim? If it says Beferish in the Braisa that we had learned just before that, that even if they're too short, they're kosher. And Rav Huna said, very nice question, but we shouldn't get into it because that's an old question. Rami Bar Choma answered that question, and he said it depends whether they were held up because he was tucking them in there, and he hitched them behind his avnet, behind his belt. There it's kosher. Hashenkin, in the other case, it indeed would be puzzle. So don't ask it on Shmuel. If you want to ask it on Rav. Because Rav says it doesn't make any difference whether it's Merushalim or Mesulakim. He said both of them are puzzle. And here the Braisa says that it's kosher. He's got a problem. Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me when it says that Merushalim, what it means is that in reality they fit. How do they fit? Because he pulled them up and he's holding them up with his belt. So they are not dragging along the ground. When it says Merushalim, it means if they hadn't been held up by the belt, they would have been dragging along the ground. So their original measurement was too long. Okay, so in that case, it's actually kosher. So in the case where it's Merushalim, they weren't Merushal practically, they were actually Mesulakim Hayadei Avnet. You pulled them up afterwards with your belt. How does that make it kosher? And here is the reason that Gavi had his magical pen. And this Bandi Omar holds Avnet Megiz Ogiz, that the Avnet is the equivalent of cutting. So if you hold something up by hitching it up behind the belt, that would be the same as cutting it off to fit. However, Gavi has to add a bracket, because not everybody agrees that it's Megiz Ogiz. So Rav is saying that actually it really would be puzzle, except that since Rav holds it, you cut it off. How did I cut it off? Well, it's all gathered up behind your belt, isn't it? And my shita is that something behind the belt is just as good as cut off. So therefore, now it's kosher. But even if you say that, you're going to get into big trouble. Because then, when the Braisa said that even according to Rav, misulakim are kosher, how could it be kosher? If Rav holds that it's actually being misulaka yedei avnet, you can't have it both ways. If the avnet cuts off a beged that's too long, then the beged that's too short would actually be the equivalent of having been cut off by the avnet, and therefore it should actually be pasul. And if the avnet is just holding it up, but not cutting it off, then how could Rav say that if it was held up by your belt and it was actually too long, it's kosher? You can't have it both ways, Rav. Either it's Megiz Ogiz or it's not Megiz Ogiz. Omar Rebbe Zera, Rav's girsa in the Braita is different than yours. Rav does not have a Braita saying two different cases, Misulakim or actually Merushalim. It's one case. It's Merushalim that are Misulakim. So Merushalim that were pulled up behind your Avnet are kosher, because in fact, it's Megiz Ogiz. Now, you know what? Says Rabbi Yom Yomi Diftei, I think that this Machlokas about Merushalim that are not cut off or not pulled up by the Avnet is a Machlokas Tanoim. That's what I think. The Tanya. We have the same issue about tzitzit. It says in the pasuk, al arba kanfot kesutecha. So if you have a four-cornered beged, then you put on tzitzit. So when it says on the four corners, instead of just saying on the corners, it's telling you only if there's four corners. But if there's three corners, there's no achiev of tzitzit. And the braita itself says, how do you know that that's what it means? Maybe what it means is if it has four corners, then it's chayiv, but not if it has five corners. If it has five corners, then in fact, it would, let's say you cut one of the corners across, so you would make five different corners. So maybe it means a three-cornered is chayiv, but a five-cornered is pasul. Well, wait a minute. The pasuk says, asher techaseba, any, the beged that you use to cover yourself, which is actually obviously a ribui, it's adding any beged that you use to cover yourself, which means that a beged of chamesh is also merubai over here. So then why does it say arba? To tell me not less than arba, but actually more is okay. I understand. But that's very arbitrary. What made you decide that the five-cornered beged is chayev and the three-cornered beged is pater? Maybe it's the opposite. Well, because it makes more sense. It makes sense to include the beged with chamesh, because chamesh has to have four corners in it as well. Okay, so you take four out of the five corners. But I'm not going to include a bala sholesh where the Torah specified to put the tzitzit on all Arbak enough, folks. If you only have three, you're not chayav. The other braita puts it like this. Tanya Yidach. Al arbak anfot kesutecha. This means it has to have four corners, but not three. And it also means it has to have four corners and not five. Now, what do you think the basis is of the machlokas between these two braitot as to whether five-cornered begadim or chayev and tzitzit? Seems to me it's a straightforward argument. Must be they're arguing about this. My love, okay, forget. The Tana of the second braisa holds yeter kamanda ite dami. If there's more then more cannot be ignored. More is there, even though it's not needed. Therefore, five corners are not included. The first brisa holds that more is irrelevant, so you can functionally ignore the more. So the man savar that the more is command the lesse dome. In which case, the same thing should be true about the begotten. The brisa that holds that having five corners, you have to worry about that extra corner. That means you're going to have to worry about the extra long ketonet, and it's going to be pasul. But because he's wearing like an extra beged. Mashenken, the other brisa holds, and once you get to the minimum chiyuv, anything else we just ignore. So the same way we ignore it for the tzitzit, we ignore the extra long ketonet, and we just look at the part that's the right size. So that would seem to be the machloket, and not a question that you thought, but rather it's a machlokes about whether commander lete or commander ite, but not the question amigas gaius. Says Gemara, no, it's not true. Both prices could hold that we do have to reckon with the extra material. The reason that the five-cornered beged for tzitzis, we would say we can ignore, is because of the special pasuk. Remember, we brought the pasuk asher techaseba to be marba. Then we were only questioning which direction should we be marba, the lesser or the greater. But ein achinami, when it comes to the beged, it would be considered to be too long. And what about the Tana, who's not looking at the asher techaseba according to you, and he's not using it to be marba? So what does he use it for? I'll tell you. He uses it for a very special limud. The Torah says, u'itemoto, you have to be able to see the tzitzit. Now, suppose you've got a four-cornered pajama. Nobody's going to see it, because you don't walk out with it, and it's nighttime anyway. And once upon a time, I know it's hard to believe this, but once upon a time, night times were dark. There was a time when humans actually had some relationship to astronomical bodies, and at the night, they didn't have any light. So therefore, if you were wearing your tzitzit in the nighttime, nobody could see it. That's right. Imagine that. So there, that would mean that it would be potter. So your pajamas are potter. How do you know that it's a reference to your begotten that are worn at night? Maybe it's coming to tell me that begotten that are owned by a person who is blind and cannot see his tzitzit, he is not chayav in tzitzit. Maybe that's the point. We have this extra pasuk which says there's an extra limud over here for a beged that is used. What's that adding? That's adding the beged of someone who's blind. In which case, what did Re'item Oto come to exclude? Pajamas. Prat lechasut laila. But wait a minute. How did you know which way to go? What makes you think that it makes more sense to be marabe the chiyuv on a ksut of someone who's blind and to exclude the pajama? Do it the other way around. Include, actually, the pajama and exclude the blind person's clothing. Now, that's a svara. Because marbani kesutsuma shiyesh nabri'iya itzel achirim. It makes sense to include the suma because it's just his personal problem that he can't see, but his begodim are still re'itemoto by anybody else. Masha'inkein, the pajamas, votzani biksut laila, which is not going to be seen by anyone. She'ena b'ri'ya etzel acherim. So now, what about the Tana, who used the posik asher techaseba to be marbe a beged with chomesh knofes? So then he doesn't have the posik of asher techaseba to be marbe the beged of a suma. So how does he know that a beged of a suma is actually chayim? So the idach, he learns it out from the extra word asher techaseba. Why does it say asher? It could just say shetechaseba. Asher techaseba is an extra limud, which is marabah, not only what we said before, that it's coming to tell me the din of the Chamesh Ketafot. It's also coming to tell me that the Suma is included from the extra word of Asher. So that's where he learns it from. And what about the Tana that said that I need to use it only for one of the two? And if I use it for the Ksus Suma, then I'm not using it to tell me the five-cornered Beged, because Idach Asher Lotecha Adarish, she doesn't include that as a separate limut. It's part of the same thing, Asher Lotecha, and it's not a brand new limut. Okay, Rabosai, I think we'll do the next sugya, Bezrat Hashem, starting tomorrow. Give everybody an opportunity to go work on their sukkah. And Baruch Hashem, we did our limud, Tzoy, Yom HaKippurim, in a brand new world where everything is bright and shiny and new, which is actually Nogea tomorrow's Gemara, about whether Big Day Kahuna need to be bright and shiny and new. And believe it or not, guess what we're going to be talking about tomorrow? Whether the Kohen Gadol, as he changes the Begadim and he goes from one level of Kedusha to the other, from Big Day Kizav to Big Day Lovan, what point does he actually do the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim and Akior that he had to do before the Tefillah, and therefore we could still have the level of Kedushas Yom HaKippurim with us. So looking forward to tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem, kol tov, everyone. And Mesiras Teves on a brand new world.